Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heads or tails.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
You do it. Go.
No.
I bet he can.
I can't.
He cannot expel that much energy in such a short amount of time.
I would pass out. I'd pass out.
Now that we've annoyed the fuck out of everyone, welcome to the Closer Podcast, episode 341. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. Yo soy Maddie Ding Dong.
Welcome, everybody, to the Hugo Z Podcast.
This he brought it back.
He did.
He kicked it old school today.
He did kick it old school.
Damn, y'all are on a good one.
What is up, my dudes?
It's been forever.
It has been in person.
It has been forever since we've been in person. COVID done. Fucked us raw.
Fucked you guys.
Here he goes.
I was still indestructible.
That's meatloaf talk. Stop that shit.
Hey, you know what? That's cool. He went out in his 70s.
I was fine. Symptom free for 3 weeks as it ran through my fucking family.
That's dope.
I was super happy.
Symptom free so far.
So far.
Yeah.
Worst year thus far. Unlike this motherfucker who just got.
Almost died.
Who sounded like death.
It was bad. Like, and I mentioned it the last, our problematic remote recording.
I don't think it was problematic.
It was on my part. I fucking cut out like five times.
You need to upgrade your internet, bro. That's what it is.
That's income disparity, Matt.
I don't know. You make more than me. Dual income.
Well, you're the one who cares more about money.
I mean, yeah. It's scary, bro. I don't want to be fucking broke. I did that for like the first 25 years of my life.
You're right, though. Now that we've determined whose internet it is, because... It wasn't yours. It's definitely that one.
Well, no, yeah. It was mine previously. It was my router. I got a new router.
It's good to know. I think it would be better if we actually tried it from my fucking phone.
I mean, so it might be.
Next time, like, I'm just going to do it. Either way, neither here nor there. Survived COVID. I forgot to mention on the last show, too, we also, Sophia and I also saw Bjork.
Hi, Sophia.
Can you not,
Can you not ever say hi to Sophia ever again?
Don't tell me what to do.
Don't ever get in her DMs again,
fucking
dude.
Fucking do it. Bro, I live in there.
Except when it's about buying me a fucking gift.
I live in there. Yeah, see? See? And then she goes and spoils it. I'm like, don't tell Rhett. I want to do something nice for his birthday. And she's like, Rhett, man, man, man.
She's loyal.
That's not loyal. You know what that is? That's a snitch.
Whoa.
That's untrustworthy.
Whoa. Look, man. Whoa.
That's untrustworthy.
That's jailhouse talk.
It is.
That's bullshit.
These hoes ain't loyal.
Yeah, exactly.
What? No.
Wait a minute.
What?
They're not? Okay, no.
That's what purportedly.
Yeah, you saw Bjork.
I saw Bjorker, and I wasn't quite 100% yet, but it was the first day. It literally, if it had been like the day before, I wouldn't have been able to go.
But because of COVID? Or?
Yeah, I was just like well enough to go because she bought the tickets a few months ago, and I'd never seen Bjork, and that was a very elaborate show.
It's a fucking hell of a show, dude. I've seen Bjork once, and it's... unbelievable.
Rhett was super surprised when I told him I was jealous.
Yeah, I went with, not that a name drop wouldn't. I went with an ex-girlfriend.
Mm.
And yeah, it was fucking wild, dude. Like, Susie and the Banshees had come right before, had come on stage right before that.
Dude.
So I had to sit through Susie and the Banshees.
Good. I'm glad you went there. I was like, this motherfucker like Susie and the Banshees?
I had to sit through Susie and the Banshees. And then fucking Bjork just ran around stage like a goddamn fairy for 2.5 hours. It was great.
A lunatic fairy.
Yeah.
They do long sets at Coachella?
The headliners do.
Oh, for some reason, I always assume every festival, it's like the longest set you're going to get is 45 minutes.
No, I mean, when we saw Tool and Rage, they both did what?
They did long ass
two,
sets.
2 hours almost, I think, each?
About.
We were dying.
Yeah.
At the end of that fucking day.
Yeah, we were. We really were.
That's dope.
Yeah. I mean, and in between Rage and Tool, like a shitload of people either, because Rage was, you know, a bigger band than Tool still overall, right?
Yeah.
But Tool was the closer.
Commercially, anyway.
Yeah, Tool was the closer, though. But still, a lot of people either took off to go to the bathroom. After Rage?
Oh, yeah, well, because you're going to get a lot less casuals for Tool.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Nobody's sitting there watching Tool because, like, you know, they're just waiting to see what it's like.
Yeah, because we were a fair ways, like middle way through the crowd for Rage, and then we got close, honestly, for a festival that was that big, we got close for Tool.
And that was first Coachella when they were like, "Oh yeah, we'll have water everywhere."
No,
none water anywhere. We were fucking dying. Just
the tears of the hipsters.
You know how proud I am though that fucking we went to like that's the year of that Woodstock '99 bullshit. And with that lineup, with like Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit, and we you know, obviously we didn't go there because we don't live on the East Coast, for one. But we went to the cool first Coachella counter, the counter programming for Woodstock 99. It had Tool and Rage Against the Machine. It didn't have fucking Kid Rock.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was proud of us.
I was proud of us, too. I still am proud of us. Yeah, In fact, only one of those was downhill after that. Huh?
I said only one of those shows was lit, though.
What?
That was Woodstock.
The Kid Rock one.
It was lit. Lit as fuck.
He said, Bill Clinton is a motherfucking pimp.
Did he actually say those words?
Yes.
That's awesome, dude. Kid Rock is something else. He's a national treasure.
But yeah, so like, how was Bjork? Good stuff?
It was amazing. Honestly, it was amazing. This was like I guess that's not a big surprise. This conceptual thing she's doing. As far as older songs, she played two songs from Vespertine that were reworked with her and Arca, who's her producer the last 10 years. And she played one from Homogenic, and that was it.
Really?
That was it. Like, the rest is all modern Bjork.
See, I don't think I would have dug it then. I'm not huge on...
I don't think I think you would have liked the visual
Aren't you a full catalog enjoyer?
I celebrate her entire catalog.
Was it about Bjork that I said that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, you do? I don't.
Well, yeah. Well, no, that's why I said no. I don't know many people that do. I'm not huge on the newer stuff.
Yeah, she hates most of her first album.
Which is fun because I don't like her newer stuff, so that's good.
Well, it was stuff that I had heard before. It made more sense live, naturally, right? And it made me go re-listen to a couple things, so. But yeah. I'm a huge fan of like Vespertine and Homogenic.
Yeah, you're getting roasted.
I am getting a little roasted, but that's okay. I'll take one for the team.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's dope.
And Tool was dope, besides getting COVID.
Yeah.
Blonde Redhead was cool.
Says no one almost ever.
Except for this guy.
I'm just kidding. Relax.
Because it's the most accurate, dude.
You just turned into Seaver, dude.
Oh, I did for a second there. God damn, dude.
What about you, dude? How's your week?
What's going on with you, dude?
I had a good week. I was feeling real chipper about Vamp, which we talked about.
Yeah. Mm. Patreon exclusive episode. Patreon.com/WhoGoesTherePodcast.
That was a fun episode. That fun segment.
Minisode
thing. Grace Jones, 1986.
Yeah. That's about right. Yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the prequel to From Dusk Till Dawn.
But it's fun.
Yeah. Vampire Month continues, and so far it's been three strange 80s vampire movies.
Yeah. next week we get to hit Blade 2.
Oh. We're going into the early 2000s.
And then we're going over to Korea for Thirst.
Yeah, and I've been reading good things about that.
Yeah. I want to do another March Madness bracket next month.
Okay, we got to figure out a theme.
I don't know. We'll figure that out after the show, but I'm so stoked to do that. So stoked.
What did we do? We did the 2010s?
Yep. Our favorite movies of the 2010s.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's a random time period, too.
Well, we did that for the episode 300.
Is that what it was?
That was the occasion for that.
Ah. Well, also, it was March.
We can come up with a good theme.
I'm down. I'm hella down.
Let's come up with something super specific, but still that has like a broad range of shit. You know what I mean? That'll be the challenge. That doesn't help, does it?
No.
Okay, good.
But I'm used to that from you. I know how to take it and work with it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You gotta take the nothing you give me and work with it.
Yep.
Got it.
Yep. I was married for 16 years. I know how to do that.
Technically,
married for now.
That's dope. You know what's even more dope is I'm gonna go see Twice on Tuesday.
Is that dope though?
I'm so pumped, bro. So pumped.
$400?
$400 fucking bucks.
That is now
the most expensive show I've ever paid for.
Well, it has to be good. Even if it sucked, you can't come back saying it sucked. Like, you'll just be, oh, it's best show I've ever seen. Better than...
I don't think it'll top BTS.
Behind the scenes. So.
This guy, best show ever. Fucking BTS,
bro,
man.
You haven't been. It's crazy. Like,
they had
it's
a video of the band before the show started.
Did you ever go to Universal Studios back in the day and like when you were a kid and go to that Terminator 2 live show where it like just blew your mind? It was all larger
that,
than
the Miami Vice live show?
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live show for me.
What?
That, but the Batman live show at Magic Mountain for me.
You never saw the Teenage
Mutant Ninja Turtles? No, I haven't seen either one of these.
Dude, it was, dude. It was the craziest thing, dude. It was, I think it was right around when the Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze came out.
They were
doing like a tour. It was at Sports Arena.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
Oh, you went to that?
Yeah.
I
remember that, bro.
I thought you were talking about it like Universal Studios.
It was fucking great, man. And they were throwing like foam pizzas into
the
crowd.
It was like Disney on ice, but for dudes. God.
I saw a video recently of somebody that had one of those old costumes from that tour, and it just looked so fucking disgusting. And he's like, we would be in this thing for like 90 minutes a night under these hot lights, just sweating in here. They stank like ass. Like, can you imagine how fucking cool that is? Just being in like your
stinking
own personal
like
porta potty for like 90 minutes a night.
Pissing away.
Just
on the
being
stage.
Absolute
pissing
filth.
The night away.
That's dope. You a tub thumper, dude?
Pissing the night away.
He takes a whiskey drink.
He takes a vodka drink.
He takes a samba drink.
He
takes a samba drink. He takes a song that reminds him of the good times. He sings a song that reminds him of the bad times.
No, Red already sucked the dick, though. Yeah, there you go. It's good stuff.
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
Yeah. Tub thumper, bro.
I got a raise.
You
so
did
that's
get
good.
A raise. I heard.
And that's it, Matt.
So did
We're
George.
Not going
anymore. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats, dude.
Yeah, mine was a promotion / raise, which I'm super stoked about.
Oh, yours is a, you have to say a promotion.
Yeah.
Okay, so was mine.
His
so
is better than yours. That's why.
The methodology has infected both of us.
The corporate cuckery has informed me that I'm better than my other coworkers.
There you go.
Oh. That's essentially what that tells me.
Well, me too.
Well, there you go. Congrats.
Must be nice. I'll never have that.
Well, maybe you should apply yourself in your career, motherfucker.
Maybe I should just care more,
but I don't. Don't use the word career. Can you not use the word career?
Can you not?
Why does that crunch on my eyes into the mic
it's
loudly?
Like,
give me the mic. Give me the goddamn mic.
The slow death.
What?
That's what it is, the slow death.
What's the slow death?
With work.
Oh, what, Matt?
I mean, unless
he's doing fucking True Detective all of a sudden.
Unless
he's
you gonna, like what you're doing.
I don't even remember that show. I remember there was an episode called Who Goes There, and I remember George came his pants about like a 15-minute tracking shot.
Time is a flat circle.
7 minutes, there you go.
But you got to say it right, dude. Time is a flat circle.
And death is but a door, and time is but a window. It's cool. Like
secret window.
Secret garden.
That movie, Secret Window, sucks.
Is that Johnny Depp movie?
You stole my story.
I didn't see that movie.
You stole my story.
Didn't see that movie at all.
It's not a good one. No. It's Johnny Depp and fucking, what's his name? Barton Fink.
Oh, John Turturro.
Yeah.
That's Monk's brother.
Yeah, both.
Is that literally his brother?
No, but in the show.
That's
Monk's brother in the show.
My mom loved that show. She loved Tony Shalhoub and Monk.
That show is fucking dope.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, Monk. I loved that show. I named my dog after that show. I mean, my old dog.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look.
Did this change anything if you knew this a few years ago?
What?
About doing the show with this guy. If he told you that he loved Monk? Yeah, that he loved Monk.
Dude, he watched my dog named Monk. He knew about
Monk. No, I knew. All right. Look, we've already talked about our lives way too long. Some listener's going to get pissed off and write a nasty review about.
Dude, don't fixate on that one bitch's review.
About this, us being friends and shit.
Yeah.
Us living life.
Fuck.
Yeah. Let's just talk about fuck.
We just want to read you stuff from bloodydisgusting.com instead. Fucking, Google things, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Exactly. Matt, have you played anything?
Anything
new?
I played a little bit of that vampire game you told me about. Uh-huh. Vampire Heroes, Vampire whatever it is.
Vampire Survivor.
There you go. That's the one. It's fun.
I told
you. It's fun. It's like Gauntlet, but like Isaac. And like leveling up, and it's really good.
It's
comes
it's,
complete with two kids right over your shoulder telling you what to do. That's fun.
It's Confetti Bukkake, pure dopamine.
Confetti Bukkake.
It's dope. I had to stop after that one run because I was like, I'm gonna play this on Steam or on stream, and I don't want to like get burnt out on it yet.
Yeah, and plus you gotta unlock your own achievements.
Yeah,
dude, when you start unlocking shit, and it's just like throwing fucking like. fireworks at you.
Dude, that's like Isaac. It's like every time I unlock something new, it's like, oh, yes, new game.
That's why, dude, I'm telling you, that's what it is about roguelikes that it is.
The replay value?
Yeah.
Like, I've never played another game that has as much replay value as Isaac. It's crazy.
That's true.
I've been playing some Evil Within, and then I installed The Land of Pain, but I haven't started that
yet. What the hell is that?
It's like some crazy Cthulhu game. Like, it's a... It seems like a walking in the dark simulator, but it's like a slow burn, very atmospheric thing. So I got to try to play that at night. So
like,
I can
like Hoobastank?
Shit, my... Yeah, that they are crawling. No, this is walking in the dark. This is walking in the dark. Different. Yeah. I started watching something. I don't remember what the fuck it was. I've been trying to watch
a crazy Japanese or Korean movie a couple weeks ago that we stumbled on together.
Did I? Which movie was that?
I'll have to look into it. Because you were texting me about it.
Was I?
It was like some crazy surgery fucking thing going on.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'll look into it.
Maybe. I do want to start watching All of Us Are Dead, that Korean show that's on Netflix. Yeah. Alia, I guess, watched the entire thing, and she was telling me. Alia.
Never heard of her.
Oh, okay. Well, somebody I know, my friend.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Was telling me.
I'm just kidding.
Was telling me how good the show is. Like, so.
This friend.
This friend I have.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
She was telling me how good it is, and she was saying I'd really like it. And I've been trying to watch it, but it's like 13 episodes, and they're like an hour and 10 minutes long.
It's another fucking zombie thing.
To be fair, I haven't watched anything zombie in a while.
In a couple weeks.
That was the thing that I was.
I'm just kidding. Oh.
I saw the blurb for it, and I was like, bro, it's fucking zombies again. I don't know if I'm like...
In a school.
I don't know if I'm... But if...
I haven't watched it, though. Yeah.
George is like, it's not Walking Dead, so I don't know if I can commit to watching eight seasons of it.
Honestly, if Alia is enjoying it, then there's got to be something.
She watched the entire thing in like 2 days.
Okay.
No, well, yeah, the reception of it has been really good so far.
Yeah, it keeps winding up on like the top of Netflix. But I've been watching.
Do you know what? I don't ever want to hear either of you motherfuckers mention that again.
What?
What's on the top of Netflix?
What?
It has horrible shit.
Yeah, well,
yeah, top of Netflix. It does, but people have horrible
two horrible CGI kids shows, some retarded fucking docuseries. Which I watched the Tindler Swindler by the Tinder Swindler. The Twizzler Swindler.
Yeah, now that's something I'm interested in. What is he stealing Twizzlers? Is he like just dropping them off when he kills people?
It's like 2 hours flat.
Real talk.
It's good.
Twizzlers. Or Red
Vines. Don't even come at me with that bullshit. Twizzlers.
Are you guys nuts?
No, dude.
They're different. They're totally different. Look.
If I want to have my mouth covered in paste, I'll eat fucking paste and not a Red Vine.
Well, see on this, and I know I'm going to alienate both you guys. You're going
to
both.
As he's wont to do.
Nibs. What the little red nibs, the fucking things that...
Dude, if we're going to go off the fucking thing, then these like...
The Twizzler offcuts.
These wallabies...
Those are so good!
There's these ones called wallaby somethings. That's not the same. It's still licorice. That's fucking bomb.
But the nibs taste like the wax question was, and they're fucking delicious.
Twizzlers or Red Vines, because that's the age-old argument. But it's fucking Twizzlers, hands down.
Weird.
It's different.
You're weird.
It's a totally different flavor.
Yeah. Like Twizzlers are one is good and the other one is Red Vines.
Twizzlers got all like, oh, here's a strawberry flavor and here's a bourbon. I don't want all that.
Yeah, no.
Shit.
Regular ass Twizzlers.
They have Twizzlers twist. As a straw?
No, but who needs
to? Then your argument.
You could use it as a fucking whip, dog. It's solid.
You could use it as a fucking whip.
You use it for when somebody badmouths fucking Twizzlers. You slap them across the face with it.
Backhand them with a Twizzler.
Then they'll just have this Twizzler like shaped streak on their Twizzler shoes.
You want to know how I got these scars?
Fucking Twizzlers. I badmouth Twizzlers.
Twizzler whipped.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, watched anything interesting? No,
that's it.
No, okay. What about you, little homie?
Okay, well, I gotta...
Okay, well.
Okay, well, get ready.
Armageddon.
Okay, yes.
The Net.
Okay, yes.
Anaconda.
Okay, yes. Woo! All of those, I'm in.
Woo! So The Net and Armageddon... I don't know if Armageddon, I'm sorry. The Net is on Netflix. Well, go figure, right? The Netflix. I had not fucking... I don't think I'd ever seen The Net, because if I did, it was one of those where it was like... Time to finger bang my girlfriend the whole movie in the theater,
yeah.
Right? So
it sounds like a hot ticket though.
Yeah, there was like Truman Show. I never saw that movie till like 10 years ago because I saw it in the theater. It was like,
why does this movie make my fingers feel really cold?
Shit, like, well, this is a weird Jim Carrey movie. No, but this movie is pretty terrible, and it's great, the
Sandra Bullock movie, The Net. Yeah, yes. It's great, dude.
Yeah,
where she's like,
it was hilarious.
She's like this brilliant hacker. And it's like, you know, she's the one, and it's like they're flying around like fucking wind turbines and shit. It's bonkers, man.
When's the last time you watched that one?
It's been probably like 5 or 6 years.
Okay, yeah, because I had no recollection while I was watching.
In fact, the last time I watched Speed was the last time, but previous to the last time.
Yeah. We almost watched Speed.
You know, I was just thinking about that like yesterday.
Yeah, what? We should make it up like, to that.
Dude. Yeah, that we kind of did him dirty. We should do Speed.
Stressful week of my life, apparently. Apparently.
Apparently.
This motherfucker's attacking Speed and you're like checked out on fucking edibles. I'm like,
oh, no. Bro, I was on another planet.
You were so sad that we were arguing.
I was, dude.
Yeah, I could see it in your eyes. You're like, oh, dude.
I can see it in your eyes.
I've sat through that once before where like George and Chris went at it and then like Chris walked out and I was like,
did Chris walk out or did I walk out? Because I was pissed. I walked out.
Was it you? I think it was you that walked out.
Yeah, because that was that time that he was talking about those goddamn... Here I go.
Timestamps.
The timestamps. He was talking about these goddamn timestamps. And Chris, I love you.
It's water under the bridge.
Water under the bridge. I barely even remember it. But motherfucker, I was so angry. I got up and bounced. We didn't record an episode that night. Yeah.
That's when we were supposed to do Final Girls. No, not Final Girls. Tragedy Girls.
Holy shit.
Something I noticed at the end of the net, they do... a fucking overhead helicopter shot that's pulling away from her at her house, Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
And I look, and it's down, you know, from a bird's eye view of her, and it's going higher and higher, and I'm like, she has humongous fucking feet. Like, is this for real? And then, like, I Googled, sure enough, and it was actresses with the biggest feet.
And Sandra Bullock is
Sandra Bullock and fucking Anne Hathaway. And also, look at Sandra Bullock's fucking hands.
Isn't Anne Hathaway super tall, though?
Like, she will fuck you up. Like, she's tiny. And her hands look like fucking man hands. I'm sorry, Sandra Bullock. I like Sandra Bullock, but I was appalled. I was like, she looks like a fucking troll.
We watched this Sandra Bullock film not that long ago, like a month or two ago.
Oh, Gravity, your favorite movie?
Yeah, Gravity, dude. No, it was just like she just got out of prison for murdering someone, and Ronnie was like, she was like, babe.
Oh, that new one on Netflix. I didn't watch it.
What's wrong with her face? And I was like, I was like, I don't know.
What's
man.
Wrong with her face?
Did she
go all Courtney Cox?
I don't know. No, she hasn't gone Caitlyn off Jenner? Quite that deep end, but she's definitely like something in her face is like it's a little too still and a little too gaunt. Mm. And I don't know if it's because she was playing somebody who just got out of prison, but I'm like, this is not a good look for you.
That's a bummer.
Sandra.
Bro, you know what else is a bummer is that you watched like 4 Final Destination movies and I haven't heard a word about them.
I watched only the good ones. 3, 4, and 5.
Wait, isn't 2 dope?
Like, no, I've never seen 2, so I have to track it down. 1 I haven't seen since the theater. 3, 4, and 5, all 3 of those are on Netflix.
Wait, what?
And I'd never seen
any
of them.
He didn't tell you about this?
Bro, you skipped 1 and 2 and went 3, 4, 5.
That's what they had on Netflix. That's and I was like, wild. I watched 5 first because, and then I'm watching it and it has, this is the one, obviously you could confuse these, right? This
bro, little, you watched 5 first?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I went experimental.
He went memento on that shit.
Yeah.
He's so, like, you know what's dope? Christopher Nolan. I'm going to watch these movies backwards.
5, I got to tell you, has some elaborate fucking kills, right?
They all do.
And then I moved to 3 with the roller coaster. It's like, okay. And the movies are time capsule films. Like, this is mid-2000s, early 2010s, bad, right? But then part 4, have you watched part 4? That's where it starts with the NASCAR
race. I don't think I've seen anything since part 2.
Definitely, but I have not. The last thing I remember watching was 3D in the theaters.
Okay, with like, the roller coaster.
Yeah.
What was the one?
Yeah, I had never seen any.
What was the one that had the fire escape and the giant pane of glass?
That's all 1 or them? 2. That's 1.
Is that
or 2?
2?
I haven't seen 2 yet, but I've seen like compilation videos at this point.
2, there's like the one with the guy that wins the lottery ticket and then his apartment catches on fire and he goes out the fire escape and then the fucking ladder goes right through his eye.
Ladder goat.
Oh.
Oh, 5. 5 is pretty, I mean, it's stupid, but it's much better than 4. 4 is absolute. I haven't even seen the first 2. I'll say right now, 4 has to be the worst of this series. It's like the kills.
Except for the last one.
No, 5 was way better than 4.
No, I mean like the last one.
I think that's 5, no?
Wasn't there another one that was like,
See, I don't know how many there are. Like, there was one that was just called, like, Final Destination that was recent.
Either way, I'm just going to say, if a big appeal of movies like this is the kills, then I'm like, I don't want to say a champion of this franchise, but I like this idea that they, you know, these elaborate, like, cartoon kills, and they it's all about the kills, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and the characters are stupid.
Oh, yeah, there is five. Wow, the last one came out 11 years ago.
Big thing with part four, though, Matt, is you can see, like, a lot of this you can see CGI, but, like, part four looks like something you would make on your Instagram story. You get what I mean? Like, it just looks like, no way, dude. Like,
that's what, if they make a new one, it's just going to be all, like, TikTok videos. Oh, dude, I got red on TikTok. That's why I haven't watched anything. I've been on TikTok
all fucking week. I haven't gone on since, but, like, yeah, you convinced me to, all the ridiculous sound stuff I send you guys.
Dude, there's so much dumb shit that I want to send you guys, but I'm like, they don't give a fuck about TikTok.
He sent me one that has like 300,000 likes. Dude, and I'm like, dude, that's my shit. They stole my ass.
Dude, and that's nothing. There's ones that have like millions.
TikTok is a fucking, it's a whole other thing, dude. Like, it's wild.
I got on it because like I'd been listening to like this NPR. No, I was listening to this NPR. Oh, there's a lot of thirst traps on there though.
No.
But like, so the reason I got on there was because I was listening to this NPR show that was talking about how TikTok is changing the way the music industry works, where producers are now like, people are getting pulled from TikTok and put right on the radio without an album, without a record deal, with nothing. And it's talking about how like they're changing the face of music.
Yeah, and the distribution model. I have found
so many cool bands in the last like 5 days just from TikTok. Like, and you get these people who are like, oh, you know, 10 metalcore bands that slap right now that you should know about. And maybe four of them suck, but maybe there's one that's badass. Like, I just found out about this band, Paleface. They fucking kick ass, dude.
Vanilla face?
This vanilla face right here.
What? I have some color right now.
I'm more strawberry face, dude. I just get red. That's me. But yeah, I'm
strawberry
face. I've been so on TikTok like for the last week. Girl. It's crazy.
Okay, pale face.
But yeah, that's going to be the new Final Destination. It's all TikTok videos.
The world is a thirst trap.
Bingy do bing, bing, bing.
That's what it should say. The world is a thirst trap. And that goes with our vampire theme, too. Yep. Look at that.
Look at that.
Santa drain.
So I was watching these 90s shitty movies, like, again, Armageddon and Anaconda. John Voight is fucking bonkers.
Hold up. Real quick. Bullet with butterfly wings. Last time that band was cool, right?
That whole album.
No. Ava Adore.
Was it Ava Adore or was it just Adore?
Oh, sorry, that was the single. Yeah. Adore was good.
There was a couple tracks on Adore that were good. But after Adore,
Don't wanna mine.
No.
Every single night. That's bad, right? That's bad.
We must never be apart.
Yeah, that's always dope.
I'll have to listen.
Be a lover in my bed and a gun to my hand.
Dude, that's another thing on TikTok. Like 20-second videos of Billy Corgan playing acoustic Smashing Pumpkin songs.
Yeah, that was the last one. And they had an album after that where they had one single, which was like The Everlasting Gaze. Okay.
This fucking guy. Japanese animation movie.
Bell? Yes.
Is that the one that's in theaters?
Yes, it's in theaters.
Oh, you like Bell and Sebastian now, dude? Name two of them.
No. In fact, that's something I've Googled and looked.
Oh,
I've
God.
I've looked it up and I forget. I'm like, what? I've probably done it like, oh, yeah, let me look them up again. And it goes out of my fucking head.
You have to do it all over again?
Fuck Bell and Sebastian. No, I don't know. They're probably great, but I couldn't tell you. This Japanese animation movie, Bell, though, is very, very, very good. Very good. I think the characters, honestly, I don't want to talk shit about the movie, but the characters were kind of two-dimensional to me. But the ideas it's discussing in this, it's a retelling kind of a Beauty and the Beast, but for the internet age, and people are living virtually in this kind of metaverse type deal.
Is it catfishing?
Beyond. It's like super evolved catfishing. It's people living the majority of their life in the metaverse type deal, but they call it something different in there. To the point where, though, people don't know who each other is. So it's like you have secret identities.
Well, what are they?
Secret identity is who you are in the physical world.
What do they call that in Japan? The people that live like just online lives is the hikikomori?
Podcasters.
Maybe. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me look this up because it's going to drive me nuts.
It's kind of like, it sounded a little bit like Perfect Blue, but not a dark version.
Is it?
And the visuals, though, because most of it takes place inside this online world, are beautiful.
Yeah, it's the okay. It's the hikikomori, is the people that literally just live their lives online.
Yeah.
Is it emotional though?
Eventually, yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. Because that's what I love out of those movies, is just being able to cry like a little bitch with a skin knee.
That Pupel of Chimney Town one is super emotional.
Pupel.
That one will make you. That made
Hi Sophia and me cry Sophia. Three times.
Holy fuck! Speaking of crying, dude. So we watched Encanto. Recently?
Oh, what is that? It. I keep seeing everybody talk about that.
It's Disney animated
one
movie.
Of the newer okay. Disney jams. And so we don't. My daughter Quinn doesn't watch a ton of movies because she kind of like gets like confrontation. Kind of like
I only have room for one Coco. Okay,
right.
I'm just kidding.
So like confrontation in movies, like she kind of gets like a little bit spun out, and so she often will nope out of movies. Like you know when the big bads come in, she'll get freaked out. Mm-hmm. But we actually like. Had a concerted effort to sit through Encanto, and my son, dude, at the end when they're talking about like the family value stuff, he straight up started bawling, and I'm kind of like
good.
I'm kind of like almost laughing at him a little bit, dude, and I'm like, bro, what's fucking wrong with you? It's a fucking Disney movie, but you know, it's heartwarming at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I want. You almost
went full fucking machismo on him.
I did, dude. I was like,
it kicked in.
I go, what are you doing, dude?
Speaking of that, speaking of which, I hiked Mount Cowles before we got here because I need to fucking move and stuff like that. And it was hot and it was dry.
Hot today. We went on a bike ride today. It was fucking brutal.
It was fucking brutal right now. Yeah. But I'm glad.
Yeah, welcome to the start of summer.
I'm glad I
2 days before Valentine's.
In fucking February. Like, but I'm glad I went and did it. But there was a guy. A father with his son there, and it, you know, it was a black guy, not that that matters, but, and he's like, his son, they started out the same time I did, and then they were like neck and neck with me for a while, but you know when you're hiking and like someone's right next to you, so it's like someone needs to take the lead so we're not fucking hiking next to each other.
That somebody's always me. I'm always like, get the fuck out of my way.
Well, that's what I was doing, and I think it started pissing him off. Because I had headphones in, but I could hear them, like, on my, and then he's like, come on. He's talking to his son. And this is like a little dude, right? Not like three, but little. In any case, I let them go, and the dad takes off the shirt, and this, and then, like, they disappear. And then they stop for a minute, but only so because the dad's making his son do jumping jacks.
What?
Right. And then that's a mistake. Then I walk in front of them and I keep going and then they pass me up again and then they disappear again and then I stopped three or four more times on the way to the summit and he's making him do fucking jumping jacks.
That's
the last time I saw him. The kid is crying doing jumping jacks.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
And I was like, dude, someone needs to throw this motherfucker off the mountain right now. Like, yeah.
So you did it, right?
No, this kid was crying though.
Yeah.
He's like, What are you doing? Go sit down over there. I'm like,
well,
damn.
No, we on our bike ride today it was a pretty long bike ride. It was like four or five miles total, and it was hot. So like towards the end, Micah, like I think he just kind of like when he gets to the point where he's tired, he just kind of breaks down a little bit. And
I do
he,
too.
And he started kind of crying a little bit. And I go, dude, like
I get pissed.
I'm like, what's the tears for? He goes, I'm tired. I go, look, we can stop and take a break as long as you need, but this energy that you're using to cry. It's going to just make you more tired.
You know
tired.
How many muscles it takes to frown, dude? You know how many it takes to smile?
And, that's what you did, dude.
What?
That's what you told him.
You made him stop and do jumping jacks.
Yeah, I made him stop. I was like, you know what? If you're going to cry, run up that hill, come back.
Your arms look weak, little bitch. Do some push-ups.
And it was really like difficult for me because I'm like, I want him to push through the hurt of it, but also like I have to understand that he's just a fucking kid.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Anywho,
well, yeah. So this guy, yeah, you almost went machismo, but this guy was doing.
No, I seriously would not have.
Yeah. Oh shit. Let me redirect real quick.
You watched Encanto.
Oh, you watched Encanto, and he started crying during the third act.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Okay.
I was happy.
You'd recommend it?
Yeah, Encanto's great. Oh no. As an aside, Encanto's great. Yeah.
Okay, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I would watch it. It's good.
Eternals fucking sucks. Okay.
Oh. I started watching Peacemaker. That's what I started watching.
Oh!
I found out it was on HBO. I thought it was on Showtime, so I wasn't even trying.
About that than the
Peacemaker
movie.
Fucks, dude. That is everything I want to show.
This bro, he sees John Cena naked, and he's like, this movie is rad. I'm in.
Yep.
Does it show his schlong?
His butt.
Not schlong, but dude, if
there's a lot of butt talk in these episodes.
Dude, if he might as well be naked because his dick is basically like the last thing on my mind. Like he comes on screen like half naked, and I'm like, dude, Are you trying to turn me gay right now, bro?
Mission accomplished.
It's fucking crazy, dude. He's just like little, because he's not tall, right?
No, he is. He's as tall as I am, yeah.
He doesn't feel tall because of how, like, he's muscle not bound wide he is.
He's as tall as I am. I have dude, photos
that
standing
first
right next
episode
to
is fucking great.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode and I really, really
I've seen,
fucking enjoyed it.
I think
it.
The first three. And then I also started watching a show with Daniel Radcliffe,
ew.
Faith Healers, something like that.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah, but he's it's like he's like a
and the stone
he's like
sorcerers?
A preacher in like Horns? Kind of in like what pioneer days.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good show. I
Wait,
think that's
he's
also
a preacher in Pioneer Days, dude.
Yeah,
you ever watched There Will Be Blood, dude?
I have, dude.
Ooh.
You know how long it's been since I had a milkshake?
We
probably
should bring
not
it up
long,
every
dude.
Show.
There Will Be Blood.
Oh yes.
That was a big year, dude. There Will Be Blood and No Country for Old Men in the same year.
What was the shit?
My brother-in-law, Bo, didn't like There Will Be Blood at first. He had seen it in the theater with his fiance, and I was like, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely not a hand job
I go,
movie.
Let's talk about There Will Be Blood, and then let's watch it again, you and I, and then we'll see what your thoughts. Dude, he ended up fucking loving it.
You're like, let me tell you why you're an idiot,
no,
and then I'll show you why
no,
you're
I
an
just
idiot.
Think because he's not like, Bo isn't really like the type of person to like go super analytical about films. He just likes to watch movies. But
it's just entertainment.
Yeah, but when I talk to him about like, you know, the theming and the symbolism about everything, he was like, okay, I see. You. It's not just, I'm going to drink your milkshake. I go, yeah, dude, it's fucking nut.
No, it's not just I'm going to drink your milkshake. It's everything. Just like Nicolas Cage's performance in Vampire's
Kiss.
We're going to get to it. So this was all, like Armageddon and all this shit was a warm-up for this Roland Emmerich movie that came out.
Moonfall.
And I was counting down the days to Moonfall and the whole
literally,
shtick.
Literally. He
literally,
had a timer.
Literally. And it was going to be horrible. And it looked horrendously bad. And it did not disappoint. And I swear to God, it was worse than I thought it would be. It was worse than I thought it would be. And I'd like to report that that's good news. But I'm still kind of like traumatized
right.
if it is good news or
better
not.
Or worse than Core?
Oh, it's way worse than Core.
Whoa.
Dude, there's no, watch it. I cannot wait. There's so much to say that I can't, I don't want to just take
because,
up time.
Because hands down, The Core is the worst sci-fi movie I have ever seen.
No, dude.
But I watch it regularly because it's so bad.
Just look
this
at-
This is worse?
Even the name.
Wow.
Look it, man. Moonfall, the name, is wow. worse than The Core.
Wow.
Right? I mean-
I thought it was going to be a Christopher Nolan movie.
Okay, I will say this. I don't think a single scene- was filmed outside of a soundstage, which is not particularly unique when you have movies like Avatar that do that well. This doesn't do it well. You're in the Colorado mountains and there's a storm and it looks like you're in a soundstage.
Well,
because you are.
Who was it? Cthulhu Christ on Jacob on Discord was saying everything was done on a
you can if
on a
you,
soundstage.
When I cannot wait till you watch it. And there, all I will say too is there's one part where the moon is it does these gravity distortion fields and these people start running to a helicopter and they start Mario jumping and it's fucking hilarious, dude.
Okay.
It was the most over the top hilarious moment. And if you thought it was enough just for the moon to fall, it's not. It's not. There needs to be.
There's something
you
else.
Need
yeah,
the
yeah,
backstory
yeah.
of the moon.
Yeah, there's something else going on.
They
that
teach
I'm,
you where the moon comes from, dude,
and what it is, and it's not.
It's
a,
cheese.
It's technology, dude.
The moon is cheese. That's
look,
obvious.
When
they teach you where the moon comes from. if it was made of cheese, it would be more. It would make more sense.
When a mommy moon and a daddy moon
yeah.
love each other a whole lot, they make they, moonfall.
Yeah, when gases and dust like each other, they bang. And there's Moon.
Patrick Wilson and Halle Berry, like, it's two of the best examples you'll ever see of a paycheck, obviously, role. But, I mean, seriously, I know that that's the industry, right? Sure, with a lot of stuff. But, no, but Halle Berry looks embarrassed. Like the dialogue that they have Halle Berry delivering
how do you,
is crazy.
How do you think that happens? I mean, understandably, it's a paycheck, right? But an actress like Halle Berry... Do you don't think she's got enough money to where if somebody was like, here's this awful script and here's this awful premise for a movie, like how does she go into it gleefully
I think it's a balance, dude. I think because she hasn't done just a shitload of franchise stuff. So she's like, oh, I'll do a Roland Emmerich movie. The thing is, though, even by Emmerich standards, this is bad. And also, he's not on a run anymore. Like he did Independence Day Resurgence, which is like, okay, I'll do an Independence Day sequel and get back in the game. It fucking flopped miserably. Yeah. Now he's like, oh, fucking Moonfall, I'll do this. It flopped. It opened to $10 million. And she was thinking, like, this guy did Independence Day. This guy did Day After Tomorrow.
And be fair, Homegirl did Catwoman. So she's no stranger to bad franchises. But
she can only do bad franchises.
I wonder what happens in an actor's mind when they're like, okay, I haven't done a film in X amount of years.
She was in John Wick 3.
This is the one I'm going to do?
I don't know, man.
That's weird.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It is weird. Because also, look, I who doesn't like Halle? She's gorgeous. She's a great actress. She was great in Monsters Ball. She was great in Lorenzo's Oil.
Yeah.
She was great in a lot of things. And this isn't one of them.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. I was watching a Red Letter Media video, and they were talking about Bruce Willis and his, like, have you seen how many films he's been in the last, like, handful of years?
He does these fucking direct-to-video bullshit movies.
It's crazy,
he's the
man.
Same in every movie.
It's crazy, and it's like...
People love to talk shit about Cage with that, but Nicolas Cage has, you know, he has also done Mandy. He did Color Out of Space. He did Pig last year. Like, he should have got nominated, by the way, for that. I don't know how that didn't happen. But yeah, he does a bunch of bullshit, but he reminds you every now and then.
Every once in a while.
I'm fucking leaving Las Vegas, okay? Like, yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. All right, well, unless we got anything specific to get to, let's take a quick break and come back to talk about a film.
Dupe.
All right, homies, we'll be right back. You got to tone it down with hot sauce, huh?
Don't tell them. Don't let them know.
Don't tell them.
Don't tell them.
Don't do this.
Don't do this to me.
What?
Don't do this to me.
What? No.
What? No.
Mateo.
Yeah, buddy.
Guess what?
We're fucking back!
We're back, yeah!
That's dope.
That is hella dope.
Hey, Red Buddy.
No.
Can you tell these fucking morons about the Patreon, bro?
The Patreon is a feature, if you will, in which, if you're a fan of the show, you can contribute a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money to help pay for expenses of the show, because we love doing the show, but it is not free. And as you know, freedom is not free.
Freedom costs a hefty fucking free.
What would you do if who goes there needed you? And we do need you. We need you to show us how much you care and help us do the show. And in return, you get special things like exclusive content. Exclusive bonus content like the Patreon episodes. We just recorded one on the classic Grace Jones vampire movie, Vamp, which you were all chomping at the bit for years for us to do an episode on.
Right.
The Discord, it was a buzz.
You get the Christmas cards, which are very, very hot. Very hot item.
Usually delightful.
It gets exclusive merchandise.
Exclusive Discord.
Discord. It's access to a very interesting and problematic community.
Cancelable community.
Of misfits. And then we end up being on there more than we should be sometimes. I'm speaking for myself, I guess. Because sometimes I'll be on that thing for like 2 hours straight and I'll leave just full of cortisol and pissed off. Well, honestly, it's pretty fun.
What's the website, Rhett?
The website is www.patronuswgt.com.org. What's the website?
Patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
Patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast.
So, Who Goes There Podcast watched 1988's Vampire's Kiss.
Sorry!
Directed by Robert Biermann, starring Nicolas Cage, Maria Conchita Alonso, Jennifer Beals, Elizabeth Ashley, Casey Lemons, Robert Lujan, Jessica Lundy, Lumberg Fuchter, Johnny Walker, Boris...
Johnny Walker, he's a good dude.
Boris Karloff.
Boris Leoskin.
Boris
Michael
Vallejo.
Knowles, John Michael Higgins, who was a fucking non-known entity in those days, and a bunch of other fucking people.
I still don't know who he is.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
David Hyde Pierce is in this film?
Oh, he's at the bar. That was him. There's a guy at a bar talking
theater
to a
guy?
Chick. Yeah. He's talking to a chick at the bar.
Oh, and he's talking about, like, oh, the film was...
Yeah, they have these side conversations that are audible. I love it.
It's all, yeah, and then the bitch is all like, fuck, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm going to leave.
Yeah, that's good. That's me, dude.
No,
I'm the bitch.
You're the guy.
Oh, okay. I'm not the bitch this time.
Well, you're both.
Oh, okay, there we go.
You're the dick.
Come on.
Come on now.
I'm the D.
It's true. He is the D.
Matt?
Yeah, buddy.
What'd you think of Vampire's Kiss, dude?
Rhett, you done it this time. I fucking hated this movie.
What?
But then, Rhett sent me an article, and I actually read it.
Oh,
and,
wow. What?
I'm glad that.
I don't know. I kind of actually really like it now.
What the fuck?
So the thing is, I watched it, and I think I had the reaction that everybody else has. It's like, what the fuck is this? What are we watching?
That's
what is he doing? Like, how does he get work? These are questions that I text Rhett, and I wrote
exactly how he gets
work. I wrote down in my notes, which I forgot at home. And the entire movie, I'm just like, this is so fucking stupid. Like, what is going on here? And then I read the article about, like, what the movie's actually about and, like, what Nick Cage is actually doing. And it doesn't feel
explained to you.
It doesn't feel right to say that it's smart.
Hold up a minute, though.
Whoa, dude.
What did this article...
So, what did it say about what?
Well... I mean,
look, so first
this article must have been first off two sentences.
No, it was a lot fucking to talk about. Second off,
must have. I can't imagine.
There's a lot to talk
about. Well, what I'm saying is, I'm mind boggled the fact that first off, Matt read an entire article.
I didn't want to because it was long.
Second off,
he was at work.
Second off,
I got him while he's at work.
That it changed his mind about a film. I'm. Frankly, I'm astounded and kind of.
That's why I said he done did it this time,
and I'm shell shocked.
It's well, because you know I'm watching this and like everybody else, I'm like, this movie's stupid, and like I have all these questions about like why doesn't he see her in the mirror like, but he can see himself. Shouldn't he be a vampire by now? Why is he talking to her but he can't see her and he's giving her this coffee? Like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. He invites her into the shower, but she's not actually... What is happening? And, like, so then this whole... Even when I'm done with the movie, I'm like, okay, so he was a vampire, but, like, he's a shitty vampire? I don't get it. And then I read this thing and I'm like, oh, so he was never... actually a vampire. This is like his loneliness is leading to his like descent into madness, and like that accent that comes and goes, that's intentional. Like when he's trying to impress people, he's like doing that accent because he thinks is like a literary professional, it makes
like
him
a
sound
satire.
Yeah, it makes him sound more important and more
it's like me,
you know, more noble, more classy. But then when he's talking like to like Hugo's the psychiatrist their podcast. And he's not trying to impress her, he's doing his normal voice more. And like, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like this all kind of makes sense. And I was like, but what's with his acting? And then this article was talking about how like Cage said he wanted to go against like traditional acting. And I'm like, yeah, of course he said that, because like, you know, just like Tommy Wiseau now intended to make a dark comedy. Like, no, he fucking didn't. But then after learning that, like,
well, that's that's,
well, so, but reading,
there's so
that,
many twists.
You are talking about
this.
A guy here, so, though, that has actual abilities.
Well, right, but see, why watching it, I didn't think he did. But then the thing that I read,
even when he's doing ridiculous stuff, it's intense.
So, and the reason I like that more now is because it said that he was trying to pay homage to like the old silent films where everything was really exaggerated in terms of movement and facial expressions because you can't emote like with your voice. So when his eyes look all wide and bugged, like he's trying to do Nosferatu. And I obviously that was apparent, but
one
like,
of the best memes ever.
Right. But that's the thing is everybody looks at him as memes and it's like, well, okay, if you're doing like,
well, that says
an interpretation of him doing a silent film character, but in a modern day, like that's kind of fucking brilliant.
I agree.
Also, I think there's multiple endings for this, because then I read the Wikipedia to make sure I knew what was going on, and like it said at the end that like she finds him sleeping on the street and they kiss, but like that wasn't in the version I saw.
I didn't see that in the
ending. She said something about like dream of me or some shit, and then that was like it.
Yeah, and it fades out. It shows the city and goes to the credits.
Yeah.
Because he's been cooked completely by this toxic bitch.
I don't know that I necessarily like it, but I mean it's smart and it does not get the credit it deserves.
I'll tell you this movie, I don't think and I know we watch a lot of these films, and I know we say this a lot. This movie does not give a shit if you like it or not.
No,
and that's what and I think honestly when it leans into that aspect of it, it's when it's like firing on all cylinders. There's points in this film where you know things are happening or things are not happening, where it leads more. I don't want to say dull, but there's moments where definitely like the Nicolas Cage of it all isn't on full display and it does drag.
Yeah.
The stuff with like the Maria Conchita Alonso, like in her family, fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But it humanizes.
But it's very short.
It humanizes her a little bit more, but. Which
I think is important for thematic reasons.
Yeah. But ultimately, I kind of just want to see Nick Cage doing Nicolas Cage things.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, and I would say she serves as a straight man, but, like, that's what the psychiatrist is for.
Everyone is the straight man.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like Ren and Stimpy. It's like, it felt like I'm like, dude, like, this is the universe.
It's a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Once it hits. I'm sorry. Go on. Okay, I hadn't seen the movie till last year. And it kept floating by on fucking Amazon Prime, you know. At the time, it's not available on Amazon Prime anymore, of course. But not even to rent, which was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I had to rent it through Apple TV.
I'd heard about it for years because, you know, I'm a movie enthusiast, supposedly, right? And then this meme thing, though.
Do you even like movies on this show?
Exactly.
I love that if a movie gets made into a meme, Rhett's like, I have to watch this.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like, I had seen this compilation video of Nicolas Cage on YouTube. Where it has his Nicolas Cage losing his shit, it's called. It's a very popular YouTube video. And I'm like watching it. I'm like, I've seen that. That looks fucking crazy. I've seen that. And then this had like at least 15 parts of this movie on that. Compilation.
The meme that we're talking about specifically is the you don't say Nicolas Cage face. Like that's the one that if a single shot on this film stands out to you, that's the meme.
Yeah, you've seen it.
I disagree, because to me it's when he's doing the alphabet and he has his hands like this. I think that's the SpongeBob meme.
That was fantastic, dude.
I think SpongeBob took that and like put that in their show.
Well, I can see the other actors responding to his acting.
Oh, that psychiatrist wanted to laugh that
whole
time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're not acting. They're like, oh, okay, that's good. You know your alphabet. And he's like, I didn't misplace a file one time.
Yeah.
One time. I don't want to be like, I get it. I do. He's like upending the whole like structure of a job and like patriarchal stuff and corporate ladder and hierarchy. It's like, okay, you didn't misplace a file. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? But what I got from that, by the way, is he's fixating on this seemingly like really small circumstance to focus on that so he can ignore the big issues.
Right.
In his fucking...
It's to quote unquote distract himself from the actual issues in his life.
Yeah. But yeah, when I watched the movie finally, it took about the first thing that hit me, just like you mentioned, Matt, was the accent.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does the thing with the O's. He's like, I don't know.
The girl from Paramore.
That accent is it's really fucking strange. I couldn't. Like, because there's moments that you can pinpoint it. You're like, oh, it's very clearly a British accent.
It's like British surfer. Well,
so that article was saying that a lot of the time when Americans move to England, they kind of have that weird faux British accent.
Continental accent.
They try to sound more, like, important and like.
Like Madonna did for a minute. I think it was meant to be like an exaggerated one of those.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a pompous ass.
He is. Well, I mean.
But to a cartoony level.
Watching it now, it seems like he's very, like, insecure. Like, he's just got all of these, like, self-hatred issues, and, like, he's trying to make up for those.
But, see, what really struck me, though, once it hits the part where he gets bitten, and from then on, because I've seen it 3 times now, I'll tell you, man, because you've seen it once, Jorge, if you do ever watch it again, like you said, the parts where you want to see just Nicolas Cage do his thing. It's almost every fucking sequence is him doing something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well,
first 25 minutes.
And I want to be clear. I think that even in the quiet moments of Nicolas Cage doing Nicolas Cage,
he answers the door like he has Parkinson's.
I just really want to see Nicolas Cage on screen always.
Dude, he's doing that this whole, from the beginning when he stumbles in drunk and like, He's like trying to flush out the bat, and he's like, shoot. Yeah. I'm like,
bizarre.
What the fuck?
Like a strange choice to make.
Yeah.
As an actor, right? Like as anything, but I mean, I would imagine.
Well, what's interesting, what one of the things that I found kind of fascinating was, so obviously like Nicolas Cage in this film, the character is mentally sideways. He's got heavy issues going on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's dope.
I found it interesting that they built this character, the first girl that he went out with, the one in the first bar.
The one he ditched at the art
show.
Yeah,
and
dope.
It's wild.
Normalized ditching people. Yeah,
that's why I'm like, this movie's better than
it's her. Wild because like they paint her as sort of like this hopeless
Well, she's another victim of this
hopeless girl who has fallen in love with Nicolas Cage. And I'm looking at it, I go, this has to be, I almost feel like it's his perception of her.
I was just going to say, because is this like unreliable narrator?
It feels so unnatural that she would be pining over this guy who, you know, she spent half of a night with, truthfully, and
well,
did.
Well, the only reason she's pining, the only reason she's pining is for reasons of ego, which is like no one likes to be ditched. Like also, when she, if she, in fact, if we take this literally, if she calls him and says "never call me again," when a chick calls you to say "never call me again," they don't mean never call them again because she's calling you. Right. If you don't ever want,
I don't know.
I that's been my experience. If I don't want someone to talk to me, I don't call them.
I question how much you actually know about women, Red.
Mm, yeah. Well, he calls her, and then she's like, "Okay," and then he ditches her again.
I mean, he's got a
point.
Yeah,
but this goes back to George's point: is like, how do we know this isn't like
again? Like, I don't want to bring myself as a recovering addict. I didn't like ditch people like that, but I did say I was going to do something. And
I ditched a girl at a party one time, like 30 miles from home. It was dope.
I did the various variations of that where, don't worry, this is going to happen this way. And then I did it again. And it's like you're being the dickhead, horrible fucking guy. Later on, when he goes to his employee's house, I love it. I love that fucking part. He goes to her house, and he talks her into getting in the cab with them. Like, come on, let's bury the hatchet. And then he explodes on her in the car.
Yeah. He's like, I just took a $20 cab ride from uptown, and it's like a little dehydrated. I was like, what did he bring? Cocaine? Like, he's like wagging this fucking bag in front of her like it's drugs, and he's soup. You want her to make her own powdered soup?
The reason why, not to say that.
It doesn't have some inherent logic, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, not to say that. Yeah, so the thing that kind of puts me on the track of thinking that
unreliable narrator.
Because he's managed to hook up and, for lack of a better word, rope in three gorgeous women. Right? Whether or not they're
all three of them, the money, dude.
Fucking gorgeous! All of these three women that he hooks up with in the film, anyways, are, and I'm like, well, would a string of women really be into this dude unless he's good at hiding the psychosis in between episodes?
To be fair, I mean, they're, you know, a bar in the city at a certain income bracket, it's exceedingly likely that they would have casual encounters with a dude like this if he acted nice for a couple hours.
And not only that, like, but the girl who bit him, like, she seems to really have no recollection of him later in the movie, or like it's been a really long time. So
it's been
the chances of them not actually having have slept together are pretty good, because he, you know, imagines that he gets bit and he doesn't. But he gets like, you know, he cuts himself shaving, and then he goes to bring her coffee and she's not actually there. And then he invites her into the shower and she's not actually there. So like, maybe he never actually went home with her at all. Maybe he just got drunk and this is like his.
I like you're saying maybe, because there is an ambiguity there. Either way, you get to explore whether she's a vampire or whether she's a toxic vamp lady. Yep. And he's just addicted to this toxic relationship where she's using him and manipulating him, which makes sense, though, because a guy like that, if he's unable to have this human connection and just having these casual encounters,
the thing that would be most appealing to a guy in that situation is a woman who's bad. It's the thing that's bad for you is very enticing because it's like, right. Oh, she's more fucked up than I am. Like, I want to be like her. I want to be like her. And he tries to do that. He's like, okay, I'm going to go do this. And he can't pull it off.
Yeah, it's very – so my – I guess I don't want to, like, try to tease apart the narrative too much because ultimately, like –
we're going real highbrow on Vampire's Kids.
Dude, well, that – did you read that article you sent me?
That's what I'm – dude, I had to look at it because I'm like, I got more out of it.
I think because if you don't, then it's just a silly movie about Nicolas Cage doing Nicolas Cage things.
Exactly. For sure. And there's plenty to talk about with the how there.
And it isn't. I don't think that if you've gone into Vampire's Kiss and been like, well, it's just kind of goofy and silly. Okay, well, you fucking missed the
whole
point.
That's what I thought it was.
You missed the whole point from the get-go.
I did.
When you bring up the unreliable narrator, it's towards the end of the movie, and it's not spoiler stuff per se or anything. So
spoilers for a 36-year-old movie.
Well, yeah. Good point.
Well, to be fair, we hadn't seen it. So
nonetheless, I'm just gonna explore just something that happens. He has an outright hallucination at the end on the street. And during that, it has this whole alternate scenario of how things are going, and there's this idea where it's like he's like, well, I did just do this. And they're like, oh, don't worry about that. So it painted this picture of like, look, you're an affluent white guy. You're not going to get any consequences for your actions. Right. Don't worry about it. And what it reminded me of immediately was American Psycho.
And dude,
and then I looked it up.
What's his name took this movie as inspiration for that?
Christian Bale was inspired, he said, by two things. Tom Cruise on a fucking talk show because he liked the emptiness behind his eyes and his smiley demeanor. And then he said Nicolas Cage in Vampire's Kiss. And I'd never made the connection. Like, it is a lot like American Psycho.
Yeah, I think beyond the silliness. Oh, it's good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Beyond the silliness of his performances, I think that it's you've got two or three layers going on here. So you've got the perceived impression of him losing his mind, right?
Right.
You've also got his view of his own life, and then on top of that, you've got his own view on his own life through the dreamscape, which is fucking crazy because, like,
dude, you fucking
because you've got his wacky narrative.
Well, look at the art that Cal sent us already. It's got these three versions of Cage,
and on top of that, at the very end, you've got this like this floaty level of him imagining talking to his therapist because. Most of the time, I feel like he's experiencing the things that he's experiencing, like at least live.
Do you think the therapist is real?
Yes.
Because at the end, when he's in his apartment and he's like fucking shit up, he's like, I can't handle these relationships. Like, maybe I should see a therapist.
That whole. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like he says one of his last lines in the movie is like, I should see a therapist, and that's right before he hides under the couch.
I think he's just
like using a couch as a coffin.
Okay, see, that's what I mean.
Unfucking believable.
Like, well, the first time, like,
it was fucking hilarious. And it was propped up by books.
Yeah.
So, and the guy goes in there to avenge his sister or whatever, or his wife. What is his wife?
Sister.
Okay.
Which I would not fault you for thinking otherwise because, bro, he gets real comfy with her on that bed, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
There's
here?
Another. Well, on that, to touch on that real quick, there's another scene. This is
That's
early.
What
for
he
this.
Said to touch.
This
on
is
that
real room. Early for this. This is 1989 or 88.
It was filmed in like 86, I think, because it took a while to come out.
88 or 89, and then there's a scene at work where he gets fucking way out of line. He follows his employee into the bathroom. And she's like, you know, please don't do this because I'll have to use my gun and this and this.
Yeah,
and
everybody knows she carries a gun at the office and everybody's just totally fine with it.
And then it cuts to this board meeting room that they're having with all the guys and they're all laughing their ass off that she asked for a raise because he sexually assaulted her, basically. And it's like, this is way early to be confronting this issue. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And then, and again, there's no consequence. They think it's hilarious that she was thinking about asking for a raise.
Yeah. You know, and there happened to be like a woman in that board meeting who noped out real quick at the beginning. Yeah. And it's, in the scene with her two scenes later, he actually rapes her. And it's like, oh.
Right after he says he's not gonna. But so it's I like that you brought up the gun because, like, the gun leads into the whole illusion that he actually is a vampire, which is, like, I hate saying that.
Great
I feel
touch.
Like,
great.
I feel like dude. I have to watch this movie again now that I know what's happening. Because, like, so, yeah, she's just carrying around this gun with no bullets because it's meant to scare people.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's, like, goes to her brother and is like, I need bullets. He's like, I have blanks. So Nicolas Cage, after he rapes his secretary, is like just so emotional that he tries to shoot himself in the head with the gun and even still firing blanks, you know, so with
that's, you would have some serious damage.
With, especially with the barrel in your mouth.
Yeah. But and like, then he devises a very special way to deliver boo-hoo.
So, oh, see, he said he wanted to actually say boo-hoo when he's crying. Yeah, and so he thinks, like, I'm actually insane. A vampire because I just tried to shoot myself in the mouth three times and it didn't work.
And to that point, dude, something goes on with that gun because he's when he's crying, dude, he's spitting out, like, gunpowder. So I'm almost thinking that he, like, actually, like, hurt himself there. Because,
he might
like,
have. He ate that fucking roach.
Twice, because they had to do the scene twice.
I rewound that, and because Ronnie's got this, like, irrational fear of cockroaches. And
I
so
think so did Cage. So,
yeah. When I saw it scuttering, I was like, oh, look, babe, look, babe.
I'm more afraid of cockroaches than spiders. They're disgusting.
And then he goes, you know, you track it, and I go, okay, real. It's in his hand, wriggling. Real, it's in his mouth. He fucking ate that cockroach.
Oh, yeah.
He did it twice
because they had to do it.
Originally, he was supposed to eat a raw egg. And, like, you know, one of the things I'd heard about this movie beforehand was how Cage just, like, really went off the handle and did his own thing. Apparently, he didn't go off script one time aside from that scene. He was just telling them, like, I think the whole raw egg thing isn't, like, intense enough. We need to really show that there's a transformation going on.
He's right.
And he said his most terrifying thing to him personally was roaches. And he's like, I'll eat a fucking roach, dude. And, like, they didn't want him to. And they called, like, a vet and all this other stuff to see if he would get sick if he did it. And they're like, I mean, make him drink whiskey afterwards to wash his mouth out, but he should be fine. And he ate a live roach twice.
Well, that goes with the lore of vampires, right? Like Renfield was like a cockroach eater, right? Like he would eat bugs and whatnot.
And he says that's why he did it.
It's the littlest amount of pulp and blood you can get, you know. It's a little.
So sneak. I mean, all those little moments, like in a film that's like, that has clearly taken the piss with its viewers. Like if you're going coming out of the film, and you're like, well, I didn't fucking like it because Nicolas Cage was kind of acting like an idiot.
He was,
like,
acting weird.
Yeah,
like, no shit.
I just think that you've missed the fun of it. And not to say that this movie is necessarily fun, because it's dealing with some serious shit. Like, this fucking poor secretary has gotten raped by her boss.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy, dude.
And
actually, it's really, it's crazy.
And it's like, yeah, you could try and minimize it by, like, well, he didn't actually fucking penetrate her, so, like, you know.
Well, and he sexually assaulted her.
No, he goes, I will.
No, he, like, this is a full on rape. Whether or not, like, he had, like, PIV business going on, like, this is a fucking rape.
Whether or not he had human papilloma virus,
yeah,
or is that what it's called?
Papilloma, yeah. And so it's horrifying. That scene is horrifying because you've got this man,
my gosh,
who's fucking unhinged and is losing his fucking mind.
Unhinged, good movie, Russell Crowe.
There you go. And then you've got this
little
poor,
friendly town.
You've got this poor secretary who has now endured sexual assault by her boss the first time, and actual rape the second time, and I'm like
being physically, or I mean, like publicly chastised by her entire office.
I'm just
office.
Like, this fucking movie. There is little chance that it can pull out at the end. like that.
I do. I've got a lot to say. That's great.
I just don't think that the film.
Uh-oh.
I couldn't imagine a film that was bold enough to do both things, to have a very serious topic, but at the end you're just kind of like, he was crazy, wasn't he? And it's like, it's sort of a weird duality that you come out of it with.
Well, yeah, because you can't justify what he did, but, like, at the end you empathize with him just a little bit because you're like, oh, okay, you're fucking crazy.
Well,
like,
and just I think it helps to have an actor who has a natural. I mean, Nicolas Cage, the character is despicable in this, but he's also absurd and zany and cartoony. So if you're a sucker for that kind of stuff,
you've enjoyed watching it, but there's something about Nicolas Cage that, because screen presence and appeal, where you naturally kind of empathize with him when he's on screen, even when he's playing, like, you know, like in Leaving Las Vegas, or he's playing Castor Troy, which is a despicable character. You're like, yeah, but there's something innately likable about
Nicolas Cage. Bro, that was John Travolta pretending to be Nicolas Cage, dude.
Well, I mean, it was Nicolas Cage pretending to be Sean Archer.
Right.
Yeah.
Got him.
Who's Sean Archer, dude?
John Travolta's character.
Oh.
Mm. I'm a dork for Face Off.
I can tell.
Face Off has fucked me. I had an orgasm watching that in the theater almost. When the boat went through the other boat at the end, I was in the seat. I went with Scott Kelly, and I was at the Chula Vista Mall, and I was just like, oh! Like,
we heard you like boats in your boats, dude.
So we put boats in your boats.
So here's Face Off. Anyway, sorry.
You're like faces in your faces.
Faces in your face.
What else you got? You had some pretty
interesting notes. You do say it is just a silly movie. If you don't talk about this stuff, it's just a movie with Nicolas Cage being silly, right? Last night, Matt had me worried because he's texting me. He's all, what are we going to talk about? Does it pick up at all? And that last part, I was like, Rhett, don't engage with does it pick up at all.
Like, dude, even by the end of it, I'm like, what are we going to fucking talk about? And it honestly wasn't until I read that article where I was just like, oh, damn, I watched this movie
wrong. That's so interesting to me because
it was long as fuck. He took a gamble getting me to send that to me.
And here's what I would have talked about instead was just the how of things, not the what. Like, he walks to a cab with his first date, and after the vampire bit bat has chased him out of the house, and he's doing this fucking laugh, right? And then he's like, like, he does that, right? Yeah. Then we got the answering machine. She leaves him a message, never to call her again, you fuck. And he says, well, fuck you too, sister. Laying on the couch after everything after that is just off.
Yeah.
Off. See, but that's the thing. Had I not read that thing and understood what he was doing, I would have been like, yeah, what about it? Like, he can't fucking act.
That's no what.
So that would have been my argument the first time through had I not, like,
I would have been trying to say all this stuff from this article, and you would have just said I was an idiot.
Yeah.
The thing about what I will say is that I think that if as a casual viewer, I think that if you are just taking everything at face value and you
have to have an appetite for absurd shit.
Your initial point of contact with this movie is that accent. Then I think that most people will probably, like, you know, within 10 minutes, that accent is going to fucking, is going to turn most people off.
And that's so funny because that's literally what made the movie work.
And I'm into it,
dude. He did that. I'm like, oh, this is
going
to be good.
It
just kept making me mad how it was going in and out.
Ronnie and I were watching it, and I was like, does he have a fucking accent?
I don't know.
And then there's moments when he literally, like, says, like, two or three lines, and he's like, but what I do... What I don't understand is that you're... And I'm like, he's doing an accent. And it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I'm watching this. I'm like, what is he doing? How is it possible that with all the people involved in making a movie, nobody saw this and was like, that's a fucking mistake. But people did say that. And the director's like, no, we worked really long and hard on this. It's totally deliberate.
Let us not forget that this is a movie in the 80s. And the asses were just different.
Yeah, they were. So in my notes, I definitely had nice ass, nice boobs. You talked about a scene you rewinded earlier. You want to know what scene I rewinded? The love scene. You know why? She had full boob size pasties. Like, not even just nipples. Whole boob.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Ronnie. I was like, you know what's crazy about this scene? Is like, she was totally cool with...
The ass.
With her ass.
That's probably a body double then, because it doesn't show her face.
With her ass hanging out, and most of her boob, and at least the perception of her being naked. But, like, this is where the buck stops, with these gigantic pasties.
So, the funny thing is, hopefully it pops up in my notes here. Yeah, okay. So, Cage apparently hated Beals. And he eventually warmed up to her. His method remained bizarre.
Weird.
He was, like, not attracted to her at all. And he said he had a really hard time with the sex scene.
No chemistry.
And so it said, in order to get turned on, he asked to have hot yogurt poured over his toes while he was doing the love scene with Jennifer. Nobody could comprehend why yogurt got Cage aroused, but the crew obliged.
He's it. He's it. Look at the shot, you don't see his tree. He's it. He's like, yeah.
Well, so, and he, like,
motherfucker, Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor, right? But Nicolas Cage, he lives those characters.
It's more like his characters are pretending to be him for a second,
right? Well, and he, like, he apparently had such a problem with the bat, like the mechanical bat. Like, he actually tried to get like a production assistant to fly in a bat from Mexico.
Well, yeah, like, that would have been better.
He sent somebody to the boiler room with like a shoebox and a broom, trying to get them to get bats, like, yeah, so he could fucking, you know, fly the bats around.
Well, you know what's interesting too is we often listen to me. We have talked about cities being characters in films, and
great shots of fucking New York.
Yeah, and this is pre. So this is like pre Cuckery New York. You know, pre.
Well, and oh, image, he mentions new, that it's
in the
pre,
article.
Yeah, it's pre Giuliani.
It's
yeah.
pre gritty, you know, or I'm Where sorry, it's see, pre cleanup New York.
You'd see
new,
punk rock York, Mohawkers.
Well, also,
and,
the guy who wrote this?
I mean, Mohawk punk rockers.
It was weird because I was watching this and Vamp last night, right? Which we did the Patreon episode on.
I think there's a barking spider under you, bro.
Under me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Did you step on a duck?
Where? Where's this little motherfucker?
Did you fart? Anywho,
he wrote another movie that Martin Scorsese directed called After Hours. That yeah. I talked about a year ago on it. Dude, that movie was fucking great, and it had sexual alienation, urban anxiety, a lot of the same themes. And this guy just like carried those over. He had gotten out of a toxic relationship, yep, and carried them over to this movie. But yeah, when you talk about the city as a character, I mean, it's very much intentional and built into the whole, from the screenplay to the visual.
Yeah, because there are things that like they're filming and there's stuff happening in the background. You're like, that's crazy ass New York. Oh, yeah. That's for real New York.
I love the mind fight in front of the house.
That's why
that was a great little metaphor for the male female thing.
That's why the end scene works so well, is because like they just set up with a wide angle lens or like a long distance lens, and Cage actually just walked down the street like telling people he was a vampire and to stab him all bloody and shit.
Oh yeah,
like,
they didn't know.
Nobody knew that was real, and like they said that he actually scared a couple of homeless people who ran away
and
from him.
And this was a non-union production,
but that works
so.
In New York, you know. Oh yeah, and then they got threatened by a bunch of like union protesters.
There's several scenes where he's outside and with the chick and whatnot, and off screen they're getting yelled at by union protesters.
Yeah, they were blowing bullhorns and shit to mess with production.
Well, the other thing that I do is in these, like in films like this, where I'm looking at his apartment and I go, that's like a multi-million dollar apartment
now,
in,
yeah,
you know, 2022. But it's just wild because it's in this shitty part of New York.
It's the New York you were afraid to go to.
And it's wild to think that same fucking brownstone piece of shit is, you know, has been gentrified to hell and is like,
oh yeah,
you know, I couldn't dream of living there.
Completely cooked.
Yeah.
What? Let me see here.
Did we just fucking go like 45 minutes talking about Vampire's Kiss?
Dude, I didn't.
I'm surprised we were all so favorable. I knew Rhett would be, but.
Well, and this is the thing. Because this movie, like you said, most people, a lot of people, casual viewers and whatnot, wanted to just watch an entertaining movie, et cetera, not looking for any of this shit. And they aren't just like complete cucks for absurd nonsense, right? As soon as he hits the fucking the accent, they'll be out.
Yep.
I had the opposite experience. As soon as he hit it, I was in. Yep. And that's the thing. Without all this other stuff we've been talking about, I would be completely over the moon for this movie because it's one of the most bizarre performances. It makes sense. I shouldn't even say bizarre, but it's one of the most, I don't even want to say over the top, one of the most eccentric performances I've ever fucking seen. And this is what really shocked me. I had it in my head that Nicolas Cage became more bizarre as he got older, right? I mean, I had seen Raising
Arizona. He's become more subdued as he got older.
I had seen Raising Arizona from the 80s and knew that he's always been kind of an oddball, but I had it in my head that he only did that because by that point he was Nicolas Cage and said, fuck it. And this movie was like, no, wrong.
Yeah.
He came out of the gate like bizarre.
Yeah.
And he's actually eccentric. Like what you just said about the fucking thing with the toes to turn him on.
Yeah.
This is not an act. Like he's legitimately.
That's his bit.
He's a true eccentric.
So, fun fact about Raising Arizona is I thought that movie and Mad Max were the same movie for a while.
Oh.
Like when I actually watched Mad Max, I was waiting.
The motorcycle.
I was waiting for the Warthog from Hell line, and I'm like, "Where is that?" And then I realized it was a different movie.
Oh, you just said that. Okay, good. What you know? What I will say, I think that this movie, if you're a casual viewer of absurdist filmmaking, I think that this is a gateway drug. Because if you can get through this and enjoy it, this is going to get you into so much other
crazy shit.
It's one of my favorite cult films now.
The director had said that he, or maybe it was the writer, had said that he thinks the movie was just ahead of its time. And I'm like, you're fucking crazy. And he's like, boomers don't get this movie.
They don't.
Like,
Why would they?
It's beyond their comprehension. Yeah, but like, you know, people our age and slightly younger, like, they see it through a different lens. Like, they see it through life now, and now everybody's like identifying their emotional and mental problems and like taking stock of them. So like seeing somebody's descent into madness through loneliness and isolation and
urban anxiety,
yeah,
sexual alienation,
stuff, like just inequality, you know, like the fact that he fluffs up his job title of like, a literary agent. Yeah. Something he tries to make himself seem more important. He's the only, I don't know if you noticed, only motherfucker wearing a tie in the club. Only one.
Well, and
the only other person wearing a suit was the black guy, and he was wearing like a sports coat, and I think he was part of the band, so
another,
it made sense.
That was another thing that I fucking mentioned, because I was watching, and I go, oh, like the first scene, like he's just left work and he's getting into the club. Nope. He dresses up for the club like that.
He fucks with his socks and plastic suspenders teeth. On.
And
so, okay, that scene, the first time I watched it, pissed me off, because I'm like, what is this shit? Like, why is he buying fucking teeth if he's a vampire?
He looks at the camera. That's what's so great, too. All of them are in on it. It's not just Cage. Like, they're like, okay, Cage, we got you. Go ahead, look at the camera with your plastic teeth.
The fact that he, like, so it's like $20, and there's these really nice, like, you know.
And they look like shit. They look like shit.
And he's like,
he wants the fake ones.
He's like, I got about $350. What do you got? And they're like, I got this for $350.
And that's
like
a real occult looking store, too. The fucking Asian dude has like a Crowley fucking t-shirt on and everything.
That was, oh, you know what, dude? I forgot to mention this when we were talking about Vamp.
Yeah.
There was some very Crowley-esque visuals going on
in both of
film.
These movies,
and
they have that black and white shit going
on. Yeah.
I
forgot to mention it, but anyway, yeah, dude, he goes into this fucking magic shop, this occult shop, and walks out with these fucking plastic fangs, and it just goes from there, man, and it's crazy.
He goes to the club after that.
Yeah,
like it's, so the whole time I have no idea what's going on, and I'm just getting angry and annoyed at how fucking stupid this movie is and how it doesn't make sense.
Which is great, which is nuts, because like you, by this point, if you hadn't, like, what's wild to me is that, like, if you hadn't by that point caught on to the bit, and then it was an article that got you over the edge, I'm
dude, I hadn't caught on. I was still like, why is he walking out in the sun and not catching on fire? Why is she fed off of him twice?
I think you're a very left brain guy. You need someone to appeal to the
left brain. I'm totally left brain. I'm not very creative, but like I try to break things down logically and like, so it,
what fucking articles
at face, yeah, that's the thing.
Don't listen to me.
At face value,
I'm an idiot.
Well, yeah, you talk about a lot of things. Like, you say a lot of words, and like sifting through the turd for the treasure is
it's
not
like
always
watching
easy.
Nicolas Cage and shit.
But like that, dude, that future reference, like half the length of that article.
I didn't have any clue you would fucking read it.
Dude, I didn't think I was gonna, but I knew. I watched the movie early last night because I knew I wanted to actually do some research and look into the movie and like try to find some talking points or something that was interesting about it, because I knew there was a reason this movie existed.
Yeah, man.
And he just sends me that article at the right fucking time. And I honestly, like, I got through the first paragraph and then I started scrolling. I'm like, holy fuck, dude.
I mean, thankfully, then, because like I feel like if you hadn't,
if I didn't read that, this would have been a whole different show.
It would have been a lot less of a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when you're, not to say, fuck, here we go. I like it when you're engaged with things that, like, normally you've been like, well, I don't have feelings about it, so I'm just going to not say anything.
I didn't. I had no feelings. I even told Red, I'm like, what are we going to talk about?
Which is strange to me, dude. I would prefer you hate this movie than you have no feelings about it.
Up until I read that article, I was like, well, this is going to be a short show. Like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know how we're going to pull something out of this. And then reading that article, I was like, wow, this isn't just a silly movie with bad acting. Like, everything here is intentional. Like,
yeah,
it may be a little clunky sometimes, but it knows what it's doing, and I think arguably it does it well.
Well, and it ages really well, because that's the thing about the absurd. It does age well, because it's the reason it's absurd is because it's on this wavelength that's like going to make sense 30 years from now.
Yeah.
It's not making sense yet, because it's too fucking, it's too scattershot. It's throwing so much at the thing. It's like, what's going to land here? And it's like, well, we don't know yet. We'll have to wait.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, what I do believe about films like this is that depending on the era that you watch it in.
Yeah.
Because I think that watching this movie in 1986 was probably like, okay, great, yeah.
He did this as a follow-up to Moonstruck, which would have been like career suicide. Like, what are you doing? That movie got nominated for Best Picture. He got nominated for Best Supporting Actor. But see, he's got a thing going on. He's like, Moonstruck and then a vampire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a thing, you know?
Yeah.
He probably had his own personal reason.
What's wild about it is a fucking vampire movie that has literally nothing to do about vampires, and it's great. It's fucking great.
Well, it does, because, and again, that's why I like the theme of vampires for February, because it has to do with, you know, it's blood sucking, and it's love and fighting and sex and death and blood and
love and fighting blood sex
and lust and toxic bullshit and, you know, sucking people dry, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
It's Rhett's day Creole, today. The story.
It's really not like that now, though.
You were here like 2 weeks ago being like, I was covered in cum.
Was I?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why that's a bit now. It's because you were covered in cum.
Where's that a bit?
Dude, well, I've been saying that for like 2 weeks now.
But yeah, man, I think that it's an accessible, absurd film. And I think that you haven't seen it. It's a great dip in your toes for this style of film.
For
if you aren't already a fan.
So let me just get this out of my system real quick. Again, so you got Leaving Las Vegas, adaptation, last year's movie Pig. It's like, these are proof that Nicolas Cage can act and do dramatic roles in the regular way, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But what everyone knows this guy for, besides these direct-to-video movies that he pumped out for years too, but is this, you know, there's Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. There's fucking The Wicker Man, which is a terrible movie, and it's full of hilarious.
That's true.
Nicolas Cage-isms in it, though. But it's a terrible movie. And then you got stuff like, of course, like Mandy, and to lesser degree, Color Out of Space. But to me, like, once I think for this is the craziest Cage performance, in my opinion. And that's why it was so shocking, because I thought it's even crazier than Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, which is fucking bonkers, dude. Like, I don't know the last time you watched that movie, but.
I mean,
I don't think we've ever watched that movie.
That fucking ABC's scene is the craziest Nicolas Cage thing I've ever seen.
He was saying that every one of those hand movements was intentional, too. He's like, I rehearsed that. I knew exactly what I was doing.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's not less impressive to me. That's more.
Because he's going arms cross, hips, point. Arms cross, hips, point. Arms cross, hips, point.
And then at the end, huh? So that means the hands got to go up like that. Like, so he's coming at her with a rehearsed thing
of
crazy intensity, and she didn't even know what's happening.
Yeah, she had no idea what was going to be in her face in 30 seconds from now. It's fucking
the cage. It's that's what it is. Crazy, the rage man. Cage.
I have, like, straight up nothing but appreciation for the film after the fact. Like, in between, I'm like, bro, this is fucking nuts. Like, how was this produced in 1986? And it's fucking Nicolas Cage, man, with fucking bird hair.
Yeah, man. I can't
with not. With fucking bird hair, Nicolas Cage.
I can't not laugh out loud at parts in this movie after seeing it three times still. Like, again, when he picks her up in the taxi cab and just starts screaming his head off at her, it's so, so funny trolled her like that.
Even these little moments.
It's so bad.
Even these little moments when they're coming out of the club the first time.
Yeah.
And the cab driver stops for them and they're like, no, we don't need him. And the cab driver yells some fucking absurd shit at them. Oh, yeah. He's like, fuck you, you cunt face. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, everyone's on the same wavelength.
Dude, everybody is like, oh, Nicolas Cage is here? We better amp this shit up.
That's the thing. Nobody knew him then, dude.
That's what's weird.
Like, so they're just like, oh, he's just some fucking cocksucker in New York. Like, so they're just talking shit. They're like, fuck you, cunt.
Those shots, too, that you mentioned. Like, the cinematographer, he did a few other things, but most notably that I saw, he did the cinematography for Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns, and Ed Wood.
Sounds about right.
So three really fucking good and really beautiful looking Tim Burton movies.
That's dope.
Which is pretty. That's pretty cool. That's pretty good.
All right. Well, that's Zuko's Your Podcast for Vampire's Kissy.
What did you call it earlier? Vampire's Ass?
Vampire's Ass.
Well, because we were talking about how 80s ass
butts
just
in
hit,
the 80s.
Well, we said the just movie hit different. Vamp we talked about has some very aerobic.
Glorious ass.
Very aerobic. Great ass. Long 80s asses. But there is a nice full ass, and it's the first lady he dates in this. The black chick.
Oh, she's fat, dude. That's
a nice full.
She's
modern
everything
ass
about
right there.
Her. I'm like, your hair's great. Mm-hmm. Your face is.
He done fucked up right there. Don't leave her at the fucking museum of modern art.
That's me, dude. Don't trip.
The fuck are you buying?
I told you.
What are you buying?
DVDs. Go to abaroquehouse.com.
I know that one.
They're going out
that's
of business.
Resident
Buy some good exploitation films.
That's a Resident Evil meme.
They're on sale
meme.
For $5 right now.
All
right.
That's the Who Goes the Podcast for episode 341. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us tonight during your drive to work. I don't know. Whatever the fuck you're doing. Hopefully,
I don't know.
On your spouse.
Driving?
What? What? Oh.
Next week is Guillermo del Toro's Blade 2.
Is that it?
Blade 2.
Bro, I have some things to say about Blade 2.
But we're
man.
Doing it for you. You said you loved it.
I know.
Had you not watched it in 20 years?
Motherfucker, I watched that shit like twice a year.
It's so bad. That's your diehard? That's what you watch twice a year?
I watch a lot of things twice a year, dude. Oh, wow. Come on, meow.
That's crazy.
All right. Next week. Blade 2 with, do we have a Patreon kicker or no Patreon kicker?
Not yet, but we can.
We can.
We will see. This is Jorge signing out.
Yo soy Maddie Ding Dong.
Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia.
And I hate your fucking guts.
Don't tell her that.
Oh! Ah! Oh! Oh! That's hard to do, you know.
It's not so, it's... not cold tonight, or else these two motherfuckers would be putting on the heat.
Heat turn on heat. The heat, heat, heat. Oh, yeah!
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.